The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon. Hey, we're glad to be back with you once again here in the Guy James Show. Hump day, it's Wednesday. Here we are. And, wow, what a day we had yesterday. I know a lot of you, we got a huge response off that interview yesterday with Dr. Justin Frank, Inside Bush's Brain. I must admit, I think it's one of the more interesting talks I ever had with anybody, to take a look inside this crazy, sadistic bastard's brain that is the president of us right now. My. I have to admit to have thought a lot about that last night, even going to bed, that was running through my head that, oh, that in the profession, you know, in the opinion of such an esteemed man in his profession, Dr. Frank, that this guy is, well, he's not capable of being a greeter at Walmart, let alone being head of this country. And, you know, you heard me say that before, but, you know, here's a guy that pretty much nailed it down for you yesterday. Oh, wow, what a day. Anyway, we're here. We're ready to roll today. We might have an interview for you a little later. We're waiting on a congressman to call, and I'm not sure if he's going to. I didn't hear from him at 2:55 like I was supposed to, so I'm not exactly sure that he's going to call. And I guess I better turn off my cell phone here. That's something I forget to do just about every day. Ryan's back with us today. Hey, Ryan, did you enjoy your vacation yesterday?
Yes, I did, as much as I could, as brief as it was. I needed a little break. I had some things I had to take care of. Sorry, y'all missed my news. Expect some changes with the news coming up, and expect some of those things I've been promising to have on the air, some of those production spots that I have ready to roll. And you just figure out how to get them onto your computer there. We'll be all set, ready to roll with those.
It's that Cronkite thing working on you, isn't it? The news thing.
It is.
Many sleepless nights. He's thinking about Walter.
Hard shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah.
Hard shoes to fill.
Big shoes, too. Walter's a pretty good-sized guy, actually. It's another day here in Paradise in South Florida. I hope you're having a good day wherever you are. We're high atop the TIB Broadcasting Building up here on the third floor. And, boy, the offices are just all humming away. Everybody's doing their job. I can hear keyboards being pounded away here, there, and everywhere, and production studios in full force. Oh, we just got a busy, busy place up here at the TIB Tower today. And we've got an interesting show for you. I guess these days, how do you not have an interesting show when you talk about Mr. Bush? And you know, I don't want to beat that to death every day, but my God, the guy keeps coming up and tripping over his own feet again, and did you see him on TV again today? What are they thinking? What are they thinking by bringing this guy out in the public? Are they perhaps maybe they're seeking sympathy for him now? Do you suppose that's it? That maybe the great majority of people will look at him from now and go, oh. We feel bad for him, the poor thing. He's just, you know, incapable and incompetent, and maybe that's it. Maybe they're looking for the sympathy vote. I don't know. But my word. Oh, every time this guy's on the air nowadays, every time he's on the TV screen, it gets worse and worse and worse. And it's just a pitiful situation when you see him on there. I don't know whether to, you know, dislike him extremely or just go, woo. But after talking to Dr. Frank yesterday, I had a much more keen awareness of watching for certain traits from him today, the way his eyes were darting around, where he bobbed his head up and down and all that. There's some real problems there. And did you notice how this man, who has been totally unwilling to ever talk about conservation, today all of a sudden he became a conservationist and started talking about how we could save gasoline and how we can get off our dependence of oil, our addiction to oil? Did you notice that today? When have you ever heard George Bush say that before? My, oh, my. And, of course, we've got this deal going on about the immigration. I think that's going to blossom into a huge story. I think it's going to be a huge story in the next few days and the coming weeks. Both parties are dancing. both parties are really dancing around it. Nobody wants to commit. I think the Republicans are afraid to lose the Hispanic vote, and well, the Democrats are too, and so they're just dancing around it, not knowing what to do. Going to be interesting to see. I know everybody's got an opinion on it, and even as Democrats, a lot of us, if you know, we get in the same room at 20 of us, and we've got 25 different opinions for 20 of us. It's a tough issue. I don't have the answers to it. I will readily admit that. I don't have the answers. I think the final answer to that is for somebody above my pay grade to figure out, and it's going to be a tough deal to solve. It is. There's no doubt about it. What do you do? Do you throw out, what is it, 11 million illegals? Do you just throw them out? Do you let them stay in the country and pretty much look at all the people who came here legally and say, nya, 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 nya? I mean, what is the answer? I don't know. We're talking about millions of people we'd have to deport. We're talking about people who have come to this country, paid their dues, went through the long, arduous went through all the steps of becoming an American citizen, and then we've got illegals that we want to make citizens. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. I've wrestled with that subject. I really do. I don't know that I've made a. I don't know if I've come to a final analysis of what it is I think we ought to do right now. I don't know. Something else I noticed, the very, very interesting this week. I think some of the biggest news to come up in a long, long time was that British memo the other day. Absolutely. It's huge news. It's still huge news. And where is it? Just where is it on the news? The Manning memo. Some of the networks have pretty much ignored it altogether. I mean, it's been a minor news story, and it's huge. I guess that left-wing media, huh? There's a perfect example. If this really were a left-wing-dominated media, that story would be headlines for days. Days and days and days, but they managed to get it off the front page very, very quickly. It's a major, major news story that's just been shoved under the rug. Another thing I've been wondering is, why are the Republicans seemingly not concerned at all with national security? You know, they beat the Democrats over the head with that for a long time. We're the party of national security. Where are they on that? What have the Republicans been doing? They wanted to, you know, first of all, we had the president wanting to give control of the ports to the people from the UAE. Our trains, we've done literally nothing to make our railways safer. We've done literally nothing to make our ports safer. We've done literally nothing to make our borders safer. Did you see the other day where they smuggled across, they did a test to see if they could smuggle across radioactive material, and they did. So are we safer? I don't think so. You know, I heard who was it? Laura Ingraham, one of those screeching freaks from the right wing, talking about, oh, gee whiz, see, we are safe because we haven't been attacked since 9/11. Well, how many 9/11s were there before 9/11? They may be planning one. That could happen again tomorrow. And I think anybody in the government that's got any brains would say that absolutely could happen again tomorrow. So don't be getting all high and mighty and say, oh, Bush has protected us from more 9/11s. That's a ridiculous argument. And I see that our good friend John McCain, you know, he was about the only Republican politician that I had any respect for. And I've lost it all for him in the last few months. Number one, he sold out to G.W. Bush. Now, here's a man that his campaign literally crucified John McCain in South Carolina. Started filthy rumors about him. He had children out of wedlock and all this sort of thing, and how he wasn't fit to run the country because of spending time in the prison camp. All these things that Bush did to McCain, and now the Republicans want us to think that we should respect John McCain when he's been licking Bush's boots now for several months simply because he wants to get the nomination. He's going to keep all the Republicans in the fold. And now he's buddy-buddies with my pal, your favorite, Jerry Falwell. That's it for me. John McCain, my respect for you is now, instead of 90% gone, it's 100% gone. If you're going to pander to Jerry Falwell, you're no good in my book. That's a fact. Yeah, let's go back to that press conference today. I was amazed by it. Every time I watch it, him on the news, I'm getting, I just sit there in awe. In awe of the fact that 280 million people in this country, close to 300 million people, have put this man in the White House. It's really unfathomable to me that this has happened. And so now he's going to make everything better. Everything's going to be okay now because they're shuffling the deck at the White House. That's right. They've got a new White House chief of staff, Josh Bolton, actually. Well, golly gee, won't things get better now? Of course. Why, sure, you just shuffle the White House cards a little bit, and some of the voters will think, that there President Bush is sure cleaning house, all right. It'll all get better, because President Bush is acting like a real leader and getting rid of the dead wood. Oh, yeah. Anyone want to tell me just what this so-called shakeup is going to accomplish? Here we have this Bolton guy, who's already a White House insider, you know, the guy who screwed up the budget so bad that there's red ink from here to eternity. Our kids in America who haven't even been born yet are going to feel the sting of this Bolton guy's brilliance. And what does Bushy Boy do? Why, promote him. That's what. Promote him. That seems to be the trend in the White House nowadays. Screw things up royally, and you'll get promoted. Or get a medal. That's how it works. If you don't believe me, just ask Tommy Franks or Paul Bremer or George Tenet. They all three of them presided over this debacle of a war with incompetence really heretofore unknown. And Junior Bush has a ceremony and gives them all a medal for meritorious service. Well, isn't that special? You know, Junior Bush can shuffle the cards all he wants to, but the fact remains that the buck stops at the Oval Office desk, and the first one to go must be Dick Cheney. And the way I see it, Cheney has to go first ahead of Bush himself, only because it scares hell out of me that Cheney could be president even for 2 minutes. That's a horrible thought. So Cheney goes first. And then Bush Jr., and then Denny Hastert, and while we're at it, Rummy and Condoleezza Rice got to go, too. We need to treat this administration, and I almost hate to call it that, this gang of thieves, we need to treat them like a fumigator treats a house for cockroaches. You ever seen them do that? Cockroaches and fleas, they cover the house with a great big tent, and then they pump in enough gas to rid the structure of all the bugs. Now, I'm not suggesting we cover the White House with a tent and pump in gas, but I am suggesting that the entire evil, corrupt Bush gang has to go. Anyone who's signed on to their neocon world domination oil-grabbing policies has got to be purged from our government. Anyone who has sworn any allegiance to them whatsoever should be thrown out on their neocon asses. That'd be my suggestion. You know, it's just like buying a fixer-upper house from someone who had a poorly trained dog. You know what I mean? The dog just wanted to relieve himself any place he wanted to in the house. First thing you do, you tear up the carpet, and then you tear up the padding under it. Some friends of mine are doing this right now. They've got a house up north, and they're remodeling it. You tear up the carpet, the padding, the flooring, you paint the walls, the ceilings, every surface in the house needs to be replaced. Don't leave one square inch of the place original so as to remind us of the previous owner and his stinky dog. That's what you do. And I think that by now, most Americans believe that Bush Jr. has to go and his entire administration with him. Everybody. Sweep them out and get rid of them all. I fully realize that we'll have to wait until after the midterm elections, but if the Democrats pull off a win, will they then know that they have a mandate from the people of the United States to throw these bums out of our house? Will the Democrats develop a spine and realize that putting the Bush administration out into the street is the thing to do if you really love this country? Read that memo, folks. I implore you to read that memo. If you have not read the memo, I urge you to get a copy and read it from beginning to end. And if that isn't enough for you to demand removal of Bush and his band of thieves from our house, then you must be a regular at Rush Limbaugh's afternoon OxyContin pill parties. Because only someone who's stoned or stupid could stand for Bush staying in office after reading that document. If after reading that memo you can still back Bush, then you're the type of person that would have stood behind King George during the American Revolution. You would have stood with O.J. during his troubles. You just won't accept reality. If you can still support Bush after reading that document, then you're just plain stubborn or stupid or both. I keep hoping I'll wake up some morning and realize that this Bush administration and their reign of terror has just been a bad dream. I keep hoping. So we'll keep watching with interest as Bush Jr. shuffles those White House cards of his. We'll see one diversion after another, all designed to take the heat from where it belongs. Some of the American people are going to buy it. Some of us won't. Hopefully most of us won't. 17 minutes after the hour here at the Guy James Show. It certainly is. And we're going to take a break. We invite you to give us a call, 866-546-5254. We'll be right back.
Will she come back? I kinda doubt it. I feel so lonesome, I'm gonna sing about it. Ain't got no money to win or lose. All I've got are the lonesome banjo blues. No turf or coal for the kitchen fire. It's damp and cold, it might even snow. But I've got an easy chair, and I've got a banjo. Sit by the mirror, we'll play as a duo. Sit by the mirror, we'll play as a duo. Paraguay, but I got a world atlas, and now I'm far away. I think of my granddad, I think of my brothers, I think when my daddy tucked us under the covers. I had a relation, it took a while to create it. Life was too easy, I had to complicate it. Now I've got this picture, and I've got a banjo. Sit by the mirror, we'll play as a trio. Sit by the mirror, we'll play as a trio.
We're back, and we encourage you to give us a call here at the Guy James Show, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. We barely touched on the immigration issue, and I think we're going to do a whole show on that in the next couple of days. It's going to blossom into the biggest story next to the war, probably. And we need to be ready to talk about it. I heard somebody sent me some audio that Rush Limbaugh was ready to talk about it. Oh, yes, he was. And here's one of the nice things Mr. Limbaugh had to say about the situation. Let's... Yeah, what'd we do with that cut? I can't seem to get the... Here we go. Well, I guess we don't have old Rushy Boy on there after all. I thought we did. Sorry about that. Here we go.
One of the puzzling things about this, to me, since President Bush has been in office, is his... We've got a very close relationship with Vicente Fox, and I think the opposite of what you suggest is actually what's been happening. But look at it from Vicente Fox's point of view. I mean, if you had a renegade potential criminal element that was poor and unwilling to work, and you had a chance to get rid of 500,000 every year, would you do it?
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess we know what the leaders of the right wing think about our Hispanic friends. You know, right here close to the Guy James Show, there are many, many thousands, of Hispanic folks. Unwilling to work, he said. Unwilling to work. I don't know that I've ever seen a group of people more willing to work hard from daybreak to sundown. Great family people. Humble people. Of course there's an element of crime in it. There's an element of crime in the Anglo community, in the Hispanic community, in every community there's an element of crime. But what an unfair, rotten thing for Limbaugh to say. I'll bet you one thing. I'll bet you most of them aren't hooked on OxyContin. I'll bet you that. Hey, we're going to go to the phones right now, and we've got Juanita with us. Hello, Juanita.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the alien situation.
Yes.
I was watching some of the hearing they had, I believe it was yesterday, the committee, you know, about that. And they were talking about they wanted to go to eat, you know, but some of them said, well, I don't understand this situation. I don't understand that, you know. And then they went on and on and on. They were on probably another hour. And I was thinking that this sounds like the Medicare D fiasco. If they do put something in there, nobody's going to understand it.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
And another thing is, how can they have... look up the background on these people when we have a problem here. I used to work at a retirement home at one time, and they had problems doing background checks on people who lived here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, that happens
all the
time.
And then another thing that makes me angry, when every time Bush says to the whole world that Americans don't want these jobs, Americans don't want them, or don't want to do them, it isn't that. They're paid so cheap, you know, and they're not really offered to the American people. A lot of people like to work outside, you know. Am I wrong?
Well, I've never seen a job that an American person wouldn't do if the pay was fair.
I worked a lot that weren't fair pay.
That's right. That's right. And if there's fair pay, anybody from anywhere is going to do any job if the pay is fair, and that's the whole matter. They're having these people in here illegally, so many of them, it has played right into the big fat cat's hand and driven wages down where they want them to be.
I think a lot of these companies ought to be paying some big time fines for, you know.
Absolutely.
I think they're the biggest cause of it, and nobody's saying much about them.
That's right. If you're going to engage in hiring people that are illegal and breaking the law as an employer, to save yourself a buck, to save from paying fair wages, you ought to get penalized severely.
I totally agree.
Yes. And
another thing I don't like is Fox telling us how to run our country. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Oh, Vicente
what
Fox.
What is his name?
Yeah.
Fox?
Vicente
yeah.
Fox.
How dare he tell us how to run our country?
Yeah, what was he saying? They ought to let, a half million a year in?
Yeah.
I guess him and Bush are pretty good friends after all. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Isn't he a former vice president of Coca-Cola? So I guess he understands. Yeah, I think he understands what's going on here very well and why these illegals are coming in and all that. So, hey, Juanita, thanks so much for calling today.
Okay.
Good
Thank
to hear
you.
From you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's one of those things that... somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't Vicente Fox a former vice president of Coca-Cola? Why do I have that in my head? I don't know why I'm thinking that, but I think it's true. So he's going to tell us what we ought to do here in this country when he doesn't come close to having a handle in his own country on what goes on there. Hey, how many of you saw the late breaking news today? I'm trying to think what time it came across the wire, but... lobbyist Jack Abramoff sentenced to 5 years and 10 months in the Sun Cruise fraud deal. Right down the road here in Miami, disgraced former lobbyist, one of our favorite guys, Jack Abramoff, was sentenced Wednesday to 5 years. The only thing is, you know, they didn't get deep enough into that story. I was hoping they'd come up with something on exactly what happened. You know, there was a murder involved in that, and love to know how close that gets to Abramoff. Don't know if they even went after that too strongly. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But, yeah, Jack Abramoff, the thing is he going to continue to sing? Will he continue to sing? I hope he does. And how many of you, keeping track on TV? You know, we've got some great comedians on TV, some people I don't get to see very often. I do get to see, The Daily Show now and then, but I never get to see David Letterman and Jay Leno anymore. But they had such a good time in the last couple of days talking about the problems here in this country. Bill Maher, for example, he said, new rule, no one can use the phrase our greatest problem anymore unless you're talking about global warming. President Bush has been saying we're in a war on terror, and now I get it. He's not saying terror, he's saying terra, as in terra firma, as in the earth. George Bush is an alien sent here to destroy the earth. I know it sounds crazy, but it made perfect sense when Tom Cruise explained it to me last week. Mars got such a dry sense of humor. I really like his humor. And David Letterman last night. David Letterman says, here now is a list of requirements for Dick Cheney's downtime suite. That's the list that went around of what he had to have when he went in to a hotel suite. Cheney wants bottled water, decaffeinated coffee. He wants his lights on. He wants the temperature at 68 degrees, and the TVs must be tuned to Fox News. I was thinking, my God, I wish they would have put that much preparation into the Iraq War. Ah, yeah. And then we got Jay Leno. He couldn't lay off of this either. So we're now down to the final four, not college basketball, the number of people who still think President Bush is doing a good job. The final four.
Well, you mentioned Vicente Fox a moment ago there. He was the president of Coca-Cola. Actually, yes, he was. In 1964, he began working for Coca-Cola and worked his way up to be president of the company in Mexico. Just thought I'd confirm
that for you.
Okay, so he was, in fact, vice president of Coca-Cola. All right. On The Daily Show last night. Well, I wasn't prepared for that one. Co-author Michael Gordon responding to John Seward's question after the fall of Baghdad, what did Bush and the neocons get right on The Daily Show? That really blew him away. There was no doubt about it. And, of course, he mentioned the president's mother, Barbara Bush, donated tax-deductible money to the Katrina relief after the flood, and now we find out it was with specific instructions that the money be spent for educational software owned by her son, Neil. Because who can forget those tragic images of the poor black people on rooftops in New Orleans holding up signs that said, send education. So, the comedians, they never take a day off, do they? They watch everything, and they've got, you know, it's hard to be a good comedian. You've got to notice things that average people don't take seriously. I don't have the mind of a great comedian. I just don't. We're having a little phone trouble here this afternoon. Hope we get that fixed up in a hurry. I think people are trying to jam our phone lines. They've done that before. Also, we had the story about the five retired generals and admirals who wants Scalia off of the Gitmo case. Scalia shot off his mouth to a European audience about his son being on the battlefield and that, you know, a Gitmo prisoner is entitled to a, is not entitled to a trial by jury. And he also called the Europeans hypocrites. And in their statement, the generals and admirals said that the speech given in Switzerland gave rise to the unfortunate appearance that the justice had already made up his mind, and they want him to recuse himself from this case. And they probably will. He probably will, I hope. I hope the rest of them put the heat on him and make him do it. Got a little bit of hate mail, and I don't want to call this Republican love this week. A guy sends me a letter. I guess he's Mr. Smart Guy. He says, it's a civil war when the left media pounds it into our brains a million times, and it's a quagmire when the left media says the word over and over and over again. And of course, there were no WMDs even. Now, this is the part I like. Even though proof beyond a shadow of a doubt has been revealed, most recently in the declassified Pentagon documents that detail how Saddam's conversation in minutes from a meeting with al-Qaeda and tapes of him discussing how to remove his illegal weapons into Syria, interviews with his Air Force general in which specific details of an airlift to WMDs into Syria before the invasion. But you're not interested in that, are you? The guy says. You patriots are only interested in the bad news, only in the death count, only civil war, only in the violence. Any idea what the per capita income is in Iraq now? How about the average during Saddam's rule? Well, we went and looked that up. The median household income in Iraq has dropped to less than $200 a year. Compare that to how it was during Saddam. Gasoline is rationed 13 gallons a week, and each gallon cost five times more than it did before the occupation. 96% of the Iraqi households still receive goods through the distribution networks under the UN's former Oil for Food program. And it's really difficult to get the state of the Iraqi infrastructure, such as the schools, because of the journalists are getting killed at a record rate. So Mr. Smart Guy resents us talking about bad news when the fact is there's not a hell of a lot of good news to talk about nowadays. Not much at all. I lost a list I was looking for here today. I guess we'll find it sooner or later. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Take the side of freedom, know your enemy. It ain't hard to do, they speak on RTV. They own the radio, they own the magazine. As they make the world sick with their disease. Well, they're selling promises to the working man. Who's signing contracts that he don't understand. They got him tied down, working overtime. Hoping that the ends will meet somewhere down the line. Somewhere down the line we're gonna have to make a stand. The hard rain's gonna wash away the blood upon the land. Where the tears are falling now, raging sea will flow. Singing the most perfect song the world did ever know. Still arresting anyone who's making noise. Enjoy your freedom, but just don't raise your voice. Live your life in silence, work till you're 65. Always chasing dreams that you will never realize. You're working for the dollar that they'll just take away.
and line their pockets with the money that they save. As the market crumbles, they're still getting fat. Go watch a movie and forget about that. Somewhere down the line we're gonna have to make a stand. Our brain's gonna wash away the blood upon the land. Where the tears are falling now, rage and sea will flow. Singing the most perfect song the world did ever know. Singing the most perfect song the world did ever know.
Say, are you a...
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I wanna be just like my president. I wanna make more money than I can spend. I wanna build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Come on, you black and Hispanic boys. We'll keep you poor so you got no choice but to join the army in your prime and fight for Uncle Sam and die. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century.
I guess we're back. Are we back? Yes, we are back. Having a few technical problems here today, and sometimes it's just one of those things that happens in the studio, and you get yourself flustered, and you start grabbing buttons and grabbing here and there, and you grab all the wrong things. So I take responsibility for that. Should have been a little bit better prepared for that today. Thought that might happen. We were talking a little bit earlier about the memo, and we got kind of sidetracked yesterday when we were going through that. I think that this is being kept from the American public. Absolutely, it's been kept from the American public. There's some of the networks have ignored it altogether. It's probably one of the most important pieces of news in the last 20 years here in this country. I really believe it is, because it proves once and for all that Mr. Bush was... We're having trouble getting our signal straight in here today. It proves once and for all that Mr. Bush absolutely was lying about this whole mess. And forgive me for the way this sounds today. It's one problem after another in studio. We've got Dave on the phone. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. I'm a suspicious man when somebody who is as much in opposition to this administration is on the air. I would not be surprised at all if you're being visited by some of Gonzalez troopers. But that's my thinking. You don't have to share it. I can wear my own tin hat here. But
stranger things have happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can speak firsthand that they do it. Anyway, a couple of thoughts. I had to email something to you because I mentioned it to Ryan, and he may try to find it. The Loewenstein Institute did an assessment of the intelligence of all the presidents over the last 60 or 70 years. Some professional PhDs based on what they had written, or some of them had actually taken IQ tests, and I think you'll find that one entertaining.
Well, I never thought Mr. Bush's IQ was all that high.
No.
No.
He could probably hack it if he was working in the vegetable department at the market or something, but as a president of the United States, no.
And our apologies to everybody that works in the vegetable department.
Well, a school bus driver, whatever normal people can do
yes.
within the realm of normality. But and there's another thing that I'm hearing, and I don't know if you've heard it too, but that supposedly credible inside sources, and I wish I could refer you to one of them, is saying that Rove is trying to cut a deal. He wants to get a can-I-stay-out-of-jail-free pass, and can I get it if I can give up a couple of the big guys.
Well, I wonder. You know, I wonder if that's going to happen. This Fitzgerald thing is going on right now, and, of course, there's no doubt that Abramoff will get more years in prison in the other case pending against him right now. It's going to be interesting to see if he starts talking even more. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm hearing that there's affection between Rove and Cheney is at an all-time low, and that Rove may be ready to throw him under the bus because he's had to show up be there with Feinstein several times and lie because he was very much a part of the problem and his various denials of not working for him. So now I think Finkelstein is going after him. And he's saying, can I get a pass if I give you this?
Well, I wonder. I wonder how much cooperation there's going to be, you know, with Fitzgerald. He seems to be a straight-up guy, Fitzgerald does. He seems like he's looking for the truth anyway. I don't know of anybody I'd think I'd rather have in there at that job right now. I'm pretty sure that he's qualified, and I don't think he's partisan at all. I really don't.
Every credible person I'm hearing, including yourself, is saying just that, so it may well be the case. And we do have some serious criminals in our White House, and if he's got the courage and the abilities to nail any of that down, I certainly he's got a fan here.
Right, right. Well, I sure hope he does. I think he's been dogged so far. They say he's working on some other cases as that are important other than these is why he's being held up. It may be as long as a month until he gets these further indictments rolling that they're talking about right now. But I'm willing to wait. Are you?
Well, yes, of course you have to wait. There's nothing we can do to push it. But connect the dots in this way, and that is that when he threw out Valerie Plame's name, that she was an undercover agent, I think he did so fully expecting that she was going to get killed, and they're not beneath that kind of behavior, in my opinion. And I guess it was kind of a surprise that they exposed her and she got away with it.
God, I hope her life's not in danger.
Oh, I think if she's made it this far, I think if they were going to, we've got a spy in our midst offer, that would have been, I think, the immediate reaction. It normally is, and so.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, thanks for the warning. We'll keep an eye on those telephones the rest of the day.
Yes, please do, and also see if you can find that email. I'm sure you'll find it interesting.
Yes, I'm looking for that right now, even as we speak. So here we go.
You found it?
Yeah.
From the Loewenstein Institute?
Yeah, President Bush has the lowest IQ of all presidents of the past 50 years. Now, I've heard that this is not true. In fact, it says right there, false from spoof.com or whatever it is. Snoops.com is where these usually come from. And it says right there at the top that it's false. But
that's not what I sent to you.
Oh, it isn't? Well, that's what I'm looking at here right now. According to a study by the Loewenstein Institute, President Bush has the lowest IQ of all presidents in the last 50 years, and it says status false.
And it lists the IQ of the last 25 or so presidents.
Yeah, yeah, it's got them all up there.
Ranks them.
Yeah.
Clinton at the top and George at the bottom.
Yeah, that's a story I think one of our left-wing friends came up with, and it's really they don't have
an
IQ.
I think if you go to the bottom of the page, it has several PhD types that were involved in it.
Yeah, but it's been proven false. It has.
It's been claimed to have been proven false.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I often think that he's got a double-digit IQ, probably most definitely a double-digit IQ, and I think he proved that again today. Every time he goes out in public, he proves it a little bit more. So,
yes, yeah.
Hey, Dave, thanks for your call.
Dangerous.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. That's right. A guy like him is dangerous to this country. There's no question about it. Thanks for calling. Yeah, where was I here? Yeah, I got a little story about Jack Abramoff here. Let's see if we can get this.
Abramoff, Abramoff, what you gonna give me, Abramoff? Feed my face, shine my shoes, take me on a tropical cruise. Introduce me right away to Speaker of the House, Tom DeLay. Say, Mr. Speaker, Tom DeLay, how many votes you sell today? One for the Indians, two for the whites, three to take away my rights. Sleazy Tommy, crook DeLay, how many masters you obey? Four, O'Reilly, five, it's Rush, six for the president clearing brush, seven more, eight big donations, nine for offshore corporations, 10,000 Indians. Screw to the dance of corruption goes on and on in the spirit of Watergate. Each self-righteous phony is full of baloney. The right wing is wrong wing, and they got a date with the justice system, praise God. Hypocrites, hypocrites. Hypocrites, 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 forced abortion, bribe collecting, see Ralph Reed genuflecting, hotshot Christians, they are scrambling to involve themselves in gambling, family values, moral leadership, family values, moral leadership, hypocrites, 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 family values, moral leadership, family values, moral leadership. Even in the White House, oh so swanky, economic, hanky-panky, something fishy, something funny, Abramoff, they took his money, glad to help, they took his money, they said, praise the Lord, it's money, 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 all about the money, family values, moral leadership, family values, moral leadership, Abramoff, join the club, sink to the bottom, glub, 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 screw your neighbor, screw your brother, say one thing and do another, family values, moral leadership, family values. Moral leadership, hypocrites, 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 hypocrites. Oh, the dance of corruption goes on and on in the spirit of Watergate. Each self-righteous phony is full of baloney. The right wing is wrong wing, and they got a date with the justice system. Praise God, praise God, praise the God, the God, the God, the God, the God of death and sweatshops is dead. We thank you, Abramoff.
I want to be like Karl Rove. I want to be like Karl Rove. I want to be a troublemaker. I want to be a lawbreaker. Anything but a dadgum Quaker. I want to be like Karl Rove. Who can start a nasty rumor?
Karl Rove, Karl Rove. Give democracy a tumor. Karl Rove, Karl Rove. Character assassination. Campaign of disinformation. Screw the people, screw the nation.
Karl Rove. Karl Rove. I want to be a snake in the White House.
Yucky, wacky, snake in the White House.
Snake in the White House. I want to be like Karl Rove.
Innuendo, scapegoating. Karl Rove wins.
Crooked ballots, crooked voting.
Karl Rove wins.
Spread a smear and oh my dear.
Karl Rove wins.
If it's illicit,
don't diss it.
Karl Rove wins.
I want to talk about God, dance with the devil, talk about God, dance with the devil, talk about God, dance with the devil.
I want to be like
like Machiavelli. No, no, not Machiavelli. Tokyo Rose, not Tokyo Rose, not Tokyo Rose, and not Rasputin, Benedict Arnold. No, I'm rooting by Joe for Carl Rove. I want to be like I want to be like Carl Rove.
Not a lot of people want to be like Carl Rove. I know I don't want to be like Carl Rove, but anyway, we're going to be playing a few a few cuts off of this CD today. It's sent to me by a fellow named Eskett, and Eskett's got like, 22 cuts on this thing. Title of the CD is Impeach Me, Songs That Trashed the Bushevics. And so we'll play a few of these. Some of them are funny, some of them are not, some of them are attempt to be funny, and but they got some. We paid you one there called Pathological Liars for God. And let's see, what's the other one? I forget what the other one. Carl Rove's Pitchfork. So some interesting cuts on there for you anyway. How far down will these guys go? You know, I watched Bush today, and once again, watching that press conference with him today, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. It really is funny that, on the one hand, when you look at it, that a guy like this could be the president of the United States, you look at that and say, oh, you know, there's no way. And then, you know, on the other hand, you look at a guy like that and say, this is sad. This is sad for our nation that this man could be the president of the United States. So you laugh, you cry, you look at it, and you try and make the best of it, and I think that's what we're all trying to do right now. I think even some of our right-wing friends, I talked to one of my Republican friends today, and I can tell he's down, and he's not down. He's an honest Republican. He's not down because it's anything to do with losing or anything to be, you know, it's not about being wrong to him. He truly is concerned about the welfare of the United States of America. And he's sad for the way things are going right now. He's sad that he voted for George Bush. He's sad that a lot of his friends voted for George Bush. He's dropped out of the local Republican club. He says lots of them have. But you have to wonder, when the horn is sounded for the fall election, for the midterm elections, and when the general election comes around again in 08, and they start asking for the big bucks, will the money flow once again? Will the spigots be turned on and unlimited funds run into the coffers of the Republicans trying to elect another? Well, I think one thing for sure, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think we'll ever have another president as inept, as corrupt, as incompetent, as bungling. I don't think we'll ever have another president like this one. I can't imagine the American public allowing this to happen again. Now, you know, as we mentioned yesterday, and we mention it often, there's a lot of people that have jumped off the Bush bandwagon that don't want to talk about it, and they're not going to call you up and say, oh my God, I made a terrible mistake voting for George Bush. They know they did. I can't see those people doing it again. And you have to believe if a better alternative than to someone, you know, a better alternative to somebody like him in the next election, they'll pick somebody who's not under the control of these neocons. Who's not under the control of the Bill Kristols and the Rumsfelds and those PNAC group. And you know who I'm talking about, the Progress for New American Century group. I think it all started with them. I think we know that it all started with them. They even tried to get, you know, they sent that famous letter to Bill Clinton trying to get him to attack Iraq. And they've had that on their minds for years. They weren't going to rest until they did. And they had it on their minds for only a couple of reasons. And it wasn't because of any great altruistic reasons that we ought to go into Iraq to save America. Hell no. It was that we had to go into Iraq for monetary reasons, for imperialistic reasons. I don't think there's any question about that now that we went there for the oil. They tried so hard to dispel that story that we didn't go in for the oil. What else did we go for? Were they sitting around the White House cabinet table one day, and George Bush says, you know, what can we do to make this world better? Now, just imagine George Bush sitting there, and he's looking at Rummy, and he's looking at Cheney, and he says, what can we do to make the world better? You know, I'm the kind of guy that I feel that it's my mission. God told me that I need to make the world better for everybody. So what can I do? Cheney says, well, we could go attack Iraq. Well, that's it. We'll go attack Iraq, and that'll make the world safe for everybody, and I'll cement my place in history, and it'll be a wonderful thing for America. We'll lose a few American lives. We'll lose a few Iraqi lives, but think what a wonderful thing that'll be for the world. You suppose that's what happened? I don't think so. And we all know better. That's not what happened. There was money involved. There always is. They were thinking about somebody's pocketbooks, their own or their friends. They were thinking about the power, about establishing an American puppet in that region. And now the Iraqis are starting to squawk because Bush is trying to strong-arm them. The people that the president that they elected, Bush doesn't want them in office. And the Iraqis don't like that. They don't like it at all. But Bush and his people are trying to interfere in what happened in these. You know, here we go. We have these elections in Iraq. And Bush is crowing about this, the seeds of democracy that we've planted in Iraq. And then they try and tell the people after they've duly elected somebody. They try and tell them that, well, no, we don't. I know your people elected you there in Iraq in your in your democratic election, but you're not who we want. You're not the person we want in power over there. So we know by that they never did really mean it, that they wanted a real democracy. They wanted what? They wanted their idea of a democracy. They wanted a government in power over there, a bunch of puppets like they've done in Afghanistan, people that they knew they could control, people that would do their bidding, people would that would send the oil over to Americans when Americans wanted it. That's what they wanted, and that's what they're after. They want a puppet government. They don't give a damn whether the Iraqis elect their own people or not. When we come back after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about this. I still don't know how to pronounce his name. Kalugian. Republican is running for the 50th district in California. Did you see what he did? Posted a website. He went and visited Iraq, and he was in Crawford, Texas this past year. He likes to do a little grandstanding of that, stuff like that. He went down there and protested Cindy Sheehan, but he went to Iraq as well, and he's running for Congress in the 50th District of California. And to show everybody how damn nice things are in Baghdad right now and what the great progress that these Republicans have done for us, he posted a picture on his website of people walking down the street in Baghdad and little street vendors out and people dressed real nice and you know, umbrellas up over the hot dog stands and all that kind of thing. Only trouble is some friends of mine in Democratic Underground found that picture wasn't taken in Baghdad at all. It was taken in Turkey, Istanbul, Turkey. And we know that for a fact. And this butthead has this posted on his website to show us all the great progress that's being made in Baghdad. Pictures from Turkey, folks. They'll go to any lengths. They really will. Well, we're going to stop for the news at the top of the hour. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Guy James Show. Stay tuned for Ryan with the news.
Thank you, Guy. I'm Ryan Ryan. I'm Ryan Riles. And now for your today's news. Leading off of Guy's Iraq story there in Baghdad, in Iraq right now, a rash of mass kidnappings has plagued the Baghdad area in the last 24 hours, leading to the abduction of 35 people in the capital city. Two Daewoo electronics stores and a currency exchange, as well as a trading company, were the targets of the kidnappers. The largest abduction took place at the Saeed Import and Export Company in Baghdad, where commandos kidnapped 16 of the company's employees. An employee who managed to escape capture said there is no motive for the kidnappers, seeing as how the company has no political or terrorist ties, and the man claimed the company failed to even keep a gun on its premises. I don't know if that's wise right now, a guy in Baghdad and not have a gun, but I know I would have a gun if I lived in Baghdad. And in Miami, as Guy was saying earlier, former lobbyist Jack Abramoff has been found guilty of wire fraud and conspiracy for his role in the fraud-related purchase of San Cruz casinos in 2000. Abramoff received 5 years to ten months of prison time. However, the judge gave him 90 days before he must report to prison so that he can continue cooperating in the Washington and Florida corruption probes into the same case. So, Guy, I'll be keeping you updated on that. You wanted to know what was going on there, so I'll keep my eye on that and let you know if they dig up any good dirt on him. A five-year-old boy has been expelled in the town of Firecrest, Washington for 10 days after he brought an unloaded .22-caliber pistol to school. Amazing. Police officials in Firecrest, Washington will not likely seek charges against the parents because the weapon wasn't loaded. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with hurricane season fast approaching, it seems FEMA is...
Wait a minute. They're not going to bring charges against him because the gun wasn't loaded.
Wasn't loaded, correct.
How old was this kid?
Five.
He takes a .22-caliber pistol to school with him.
Right.
His parents obviously allowed him to get a hold made it possible.
Well, actually, it was kept in a cupboard above the washer and dryer. He was able to climb up on top of the washer and dryer, get out of the cupboard, and take the gun to school.
I'd take one of those parents and slap their ass in jail.
Well, apparently the laws were written in the state of Washington that this is not part of the law. It has to be loaded for the parents to go to jail, apparently.
People don't have any more sense than that. Wow, they shouldn't even have kids. Okay. I'm sorry I interrupted your news.
It's quite all right. You feel free to interrupt my news anytime you want.
You shouldn't reproduce if you're dumb enough to leave guns laying around the house.
I agree. If you can't own a gun cabinet to keep your guns locked up, don't have them around kids, period. And I don't even have any children. On to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where hurricane season's fast approaching, as we down here in Florida are well aware of. And it seems FEMA, for once, is leading the coordinated effort to not have a repeat of the events of Katrina of last year. The Federal Emergency Management Agency's Acting Director David Paulison met with Louisiana officials and representatives from six parishes in the hammered region where Hurricane Katrina hit last year to nail down some fine details at the federal, state, and local level for coordinating the upcoming Atlantic hurricane season. Officially, the season doesn't begin until June 1st and ends on the last day of November. I know my family's ready, Guy. I hope you are. And in Pakistan, Islamabad to be exact, a two-month-old Pakistani girl had two fetuses removed. That's right, I said two fetuses removed that had grown inside her while she was still in her mother's womb. The infant was in critical condition following the two-hour operation at the Children's Hospital in Pakistan Institute of Medical Science in the capital of Islamabad, said a doctor who participated in the operation. The condition, something I'd never heard of, Guy, and we talked about this a little earlier before the show went on, is known as fetus en fetu. And I've never heard of this, but you had, and apparently it happens in one in every 500,000 births. Amazing that I've never heard of this, that it happens so often. I was stunned.
Well, that's because you haven't been to medical school.
I guess not, but I think something like this would make...
Oh, wait a minute. I haven't been to medical school either.
I think something like this would happen that common would make the headlines, at least of the health section, on occasion, 1.5 million births. I was just amazed by that. On with the business news. No surprise here that GM shares are down today after news the federal government's tightening its gas mileage restrictions on SUV and large trucks. In fact, both GM and Ford shares were down just slightly today, surprisingly. In the case of GM, they were down to 22.12, down 0.63 shortly before the closing bell. And after yesterday's big losses, the broader Dow Jones Industrial Average was showing nice gains today, up almost 72 points at last check to 11,226. The NASDAQ was up 33 to 23,37, and the S&P 500 gained its losses back, up 10 to 13,03. That's it for your news today. I'm Ryan Riles, and now back to the Guy James Show.
Fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hi, yes, welcome back. Glad to have you back after the news. Lots and lots and lots and lots of news nowadays. It's easy to see why these 24-hour news agencies, I guess they're, most of them are making it. We've got, what, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, Fox, if you want to call that a news organization. They're really more of an entertainment group than news. Really and truly, when you think about it, and if you've watched Fox News at all, and I have, in order to critique what they do there, that's not a serious news agency whatsoever. I don't think they ever were serious about the news. Rupert Murdoch is he wants those folks to advance an agenda, and that's what they do. That's what they do. They might as well set up an office, and I wish they would. Just put a little sign on the outside on the back portico of the White House there, Fox News. Just hang a big banner up there, Fox News, and put an office down in the West Wing there someplace. Give them a nice office, and just tell it like it is, folks. An old boy that my grandfather used to have he had a statement. He said, "Be what you is, even if you is old and ugly, be what you is." And why didn't Fox News just admit it? And why didn't the White House just admit it? Hey, well, we're going to build some studios for Fox News down in the West Wing, and they're our mouthpiece. Everybody knows it. You know it. We know it. Hell, do it. Why not? I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. If it's the truth, you might as well do it. So, but news all the time. And, you know, Ryan, we discuss things about the news when he comes in every day. Just some of it's more and more unbelievable. It really is just unbelievable. And the war news, I see we got a couple more of our young men killed in Iraq today. Of course, to a lot of people, that's no big deal. It's war. That's what happens during war. People get killed. And, you know, the one thing that burns my hind end more than anything else that I hear, I've heard Hannity say it. I've heard O'Reilly say it. I especially have heard that bastard Limbaugh say it in his drug-induced state. Well, they joined. They should have expected this. They volunteered. They're a volunteer military. If you're in the military, you might get killed. You should think of that before you volunteer. Do you think any of them thought a psychopath was going to become the president and send them to their death on one of his whims? Do you think? Do you think anybody that joined that military before Bush became president thought that some rum-dum like him was going to be, and some... Oh, I don't know what to call Rumsfeld. But do you think they had any idea the Department of Defense would be run by some ogre like Donald Rumsfeld and being advised by the likes of George W. Bush? I don't think so. I know people in the military. I know they sure didn't expect to be heading for Iraq over or for the reasons that we're there. Let's face it. We got a lot of brave young men and women in the armed forces right now, and I have to think that most of them are there for the right reasons. A lot of them went there, and I know one. I know one very well that is as patriotic as anybody can get, wears that flag on most of his clothes, was damn proud to be in the military. I mean damn proud to be in the military. You know, one of those guys that from the time he was a little kid, you knew he was going to be in the military someday. And he got in the military, and he ends up in Iraq a couple of times. And when he first got over there the first time, well, it was, you know, it was when Georgie Bush was still talking about the WMDs and the great threat that Saddam was. And he and some of the guys in his outfit thought, you know, we're doing a great thing here. We're saving America from this this terrible Saddam Hussein who might have attacked us in 45 minutes and set a nuke our way and all that sort of thing. Then they found out it was bogus. And let me tell you, that whole group doesn't feel real good about this president right now. They don't feel real happy that their lives were put on the line for no good reason. No good reason at all. And they know, after being there, these young men and women who've seen this all at first hand, they know that that was not some seed of democracy that we planted there that's going to mirror the democracy we have in this country. They know the Shias and the Sunnis and the Kurds are at each other's necks and have been for generations. They've all learned that since they've gone over there. Most of them didn't know that before they got there. They know it now. They've seen the hatred these people have for each other. And believe me, it's genuine. The Sunnis and the Shias, most of them, they have genuine hatred for one another. And here we have in this memo that George Bush goes to war in Iraq and really doesn't know what the possible consequences might be. The British are talking that, you know, I don't think he understands. I don't think he knows what this might turn into. And they even admitted, no, we don't know. I find that fascinating that anybody do that. Anybody at all would have committed our people to that war over there. I'm looking for a quote I had here from Donald Rumsfeld. What did I do with it? I got a great quote around here from Donald Rumsfeld. I'll find it in a little while. Here it is. This is from when Dick Cheney. Now, keep this in mind. You know what a war hawk now and what a gung-ho let's go to Iraq guy Dick Cheney's been. You do know, and most of you, I know all of my audience knows, because my audience is an intelligent audience that won't accept any BS. A well-read audience. I would love to have one of those game show things like, I don't know, a Jeopardy contest between the Guy James audience and the Sean Hannity audience.
Better yet, the Rush Limbaugh audience.
I would love that.
Oh, yeah.
I would love that. You talk about making fools out of some people. You know, you read Democratic Underground, for example. There's, 75,000, 80,000 members on there right now. And there's some very, very talented, very well-read, very, very intelligent people on that website. And so it would be no contest if we had that.
Now, Guy, before you get into your letter here, your quote by Donald Rumsfeld, you were talking about Iraq. One of the things that I often wondered is, you know, we want to know where the terrorists are coming from. We want to know who the real bad part is here. We know the Sunnis, the Turks, well, the ethnic group, I can't think of the top.
The Kurds.
The Shiites and the Sunnis. Why just let them have their own countries? That would answer everything. You give them their own country, you know, the UN would have no choice then, because obviously the Sunni country would, in all likelihood, no question, go after the Shiite country, would attempt to declare war anyways on the Shiites, and attempt to go after the Israelis, and would obviously attempt to form alliances with, say, Iran and Syria to do these things. But it would point directly to the problem that we have in that region. the problem. It's like what happened in Palestine with why are the names slipping my mind today? The group that took over the Palestinian government.
Hamas.
The Hamas. Thank you. Boy, my brain's not working right now with that. You know, we're going to know now that Hamas is and has been and will always be the problem, because there's no question Hamas is going to go after Israel. They're in power in Palestine now. Politically, they're going to do it covertly as much as possible, but they're going to do it. And we're going to know as a global community who the real problem over, who the real aggressor is there. And it makes the problem more definable, easier to solve. My question is, why not just let them have their own countries? Let them, you know, point themselves out as a bad guy. That makes it much easier for us. Because the problem we had in Iraq, really, from the beginning, is a lack of international support. You know, the international support we have was, you know, foo-foo-y. You know, Tony Blair.
The problem we had in Iraq is we've got a group of people that led us in there that had no idea.
Absolutely.
They lack the knowledge. I mean, I spoke to a gentleman today. A lot of you know who Scott Ritter is. And, you know, we've had Scott on the show several times, and I spoke to Scott today in regards to this. He had an appointment this afternoon. We'd have him on again. But, you know, he's been there. He knows the situation. He knows the Shias and the Sunnis and the Baathists and all about it. And exactly, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what he predicted it on this program, what was going to happen in detail, that this very thing that's happening right. Scott Ritter predicted this. Right after that war started, he predicted that right on this program.
And I'd love to go back and find that tape.
I've got it somewhere. He laid it out again last year that we were going to be going at when we weren't even talking about Iran.
Right.
Last year, Scott Ritter made the statement on this show, said, just you wait. By springtime next year, this spring, the United States will be making, rattling the sabers against Iran. He said that.
Yeah, I'd love to get that tape. I wish I'd heard that interview.
And our loyal listeners heard that. They know that. So here's a guy that spent a lot of time in that country. We had Eric Margolis on the other day, who also spent a lot of time in the country. They predicted this. They knew what the outcome of this would be. Hamas and Israel. That's those two. Hamas has got no stake in Iraq whatsoever.
But don't you think they might have some sort of stake in the Sunni control over there?
No.
Don't think there's nothing going on there between those two, perhaps?
No. The Sunnis are going to be, well, they're upset because they're out of power right now.
Right. Yeah.
And Iran is back in the Shias, and that's something that our administration right now didn't foresee at all. Who wouldn't have seen that? Who wouldn't have seen that the mullahs in Iran are going to see the opportunity to jump in this Iraq situation and more or less annex a good bit of Iraq? You're right about the three countries. That's what it's going to end up being.
That's what it should.
There's going to end up being the Kurds going to have. But the only problem is the Kurds and the Shias are going to have all the oil, and the Sunnis are going to be left on the outside, and that's
too
not
bad.
Going to work. That's not going to work.
Too bad. Well, that's why they wanted power to begin with, is the money, the oil,
thing. It's not going to work, and as long as that happens, they can't even have three separate countries there, if you will, because there will be no equitable split of the wealth of that country, and unless they get a parliament in there that they can split that income from the oil equitably. You know, it's like right now up in the Kurdish area, that's pretty safe up there. They've got a lot of money. They've got the oil pumping, most of the income coming into.
Aren't the Kurds generally relatively in control of their own region up there anyway?
Yeah, they've been left alone pretty much for a long time. They have been left alone. The Turks didn't want them. The Iraqis didn't want them, and they were up. But they had the oil in their territory. So many people saw this thing being fractured in three ways. So many saw it. It's just hard to believe that our government didn't see it. In fact, you know, you wonder if maybe they did see this was coming, but they didn't give a damn that they were going to go in there no matter what, and they didn't. They were content to let the chips fall where they may. That I really have a tough time believing that they didn't see this. I really do. So, which makes me think they knew it would happen. They suspected it would happen, but they just didn't give a damn because they were going to have their way in there come hell or high water. And like I said, let the chips fall where they may. I don't think they cared. I don't think they cared at all.
If they didn't care, they certainly chose to ignore.
Oh, they ignored it. And you know, I want to go back to this, what I said about Secretary of Defense, not Rumsfeld, but back when Dick Cheney was Secretary of Defense. A lot of people forget that he had that job. And I quote him. Now remember this. This is the leading hawk right now of going into Iraq. This is the guy that pretty much put his foot down and told Bush we're going into Iraq. He did everything he could to skew the intelligence to make it look like we ought to go there. Cheney said, if you're going to go in and try to topple Saddam Hussein, you have to go to Baghdad. And once you've got Baghdad, it's not clear what you do. It's not clear what kind of government you would put in place in place of what's currently there now. Is it going to be a Shia regime? Is it going to be a Sunni or a Kurdish regime? Or one that tilts toward the Ba'athist? Or one that tilts toward the Islamic fundamentalist? How much credibility is the government going to have if it's set up by... Now listen, Dick Cheney's saying this. Back when he was Secretary of Defense, he said, how much credibility... I find this shocking. How much credibility is the government going to have if it's set up by the United States military that's there? Dick Cheney said that back during... You know, Gulf One.
Well, from the sound of it, we just answered our own question then.
Absolutely.
They knew, they could foresee, that he obviously knew and could foresee that these problems were going to come. This is how long ago? 5 or 6 years ago?
Oh, no, it was back in 1991.
Oh, this is 15 years ago.
Yeah.
This is during Papa's term.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, he says, how long does the United States military have to stay to protect the people that sign on for that government? And what happens once we leave? Dick Cheney.
So they knew 15 years ago the country hadn't changed at all in the 12-year, well, the 10-year interim between
not
the
a
wars.
Bit. Not a bit.
The country was still fractured, held under the thumb of the same way.
And Bush 1 was at least smart enough not to go to Baghdad. Norman Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell advised him not to, that it would be a bloodbath, and if you broke it, we'd have to buy it. And Bush won. You know, it was an interesting question, Ryan. You weren't here yesterday, but I asked Dr. Frank if Bush going to war was somehow connected to a deal where he felt the inadequacies of being the son of a powerful man,
and was he
going to Iraq into war into Iraq to show his father that he was
up to the job?
Yeah,
yeah.
And the doctor said no, not at all.
Really?
He went there to show his father that his father was wrong. He didn't go there to show Daddy, hey, look at me, Dad. I'm finally worth something. For once in my life, I've done something. See, Dad, I wanted your approval all this time, and I finally got it now. Uh-uh. The doctor said he went there to prove that his own father was wrong. And it's well known in circles in Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway, that Daddy Bush wanted not one thing to do with this Iraq war. Nothing.
Well, that's an awful expensive way to point out that your father's wrong. I could think of a few.
But here we go. Here's a guy that does not care. He does. I'm Mr. Macho Bush, and I don't give a damn what you think. I don't. And he has said that. He has said that. I remember that one press conference when somebody asked him a question. He said, hey, I'm the one that gets to make the decisions, not you.
I know, being a member of radio and media, I remember what he tried to do in 2003 and 2004 to the media. I don't know if you remember that or not, but what many call Emperor Bush, he certainly shows his signs of the emperor traits of total domination, control, everything. I'm surprised we're not bowing and worshiping little statues at this point of him.
Oh, yeah.
In various locales around the nation. It's very ridiculous.
The doctor spoke about his relationship. I asked the doctor yesterday about his relationship with his mother. And, you know, it's obvious that his mother is a stone, cold, hard, nasty piece of work.
Oh, we've known that since.
Nasty piece of work. And, you know, some of her psyche has rubbed off on that boy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, you spoke yesterday about having Saddam's gun in a glass case. And I found that was interesting, too. I read somewhere that he had that. And the doctor commented on that, and I said, you know, what about that? And he said, well, you know, there you go. There's a case right there. He's got Saddam's gun there, and he shows it off to everybody that comes in the office. Look, I got Saddam's gun. He didn't take Saddam's gun from Saddam.
Where's my cuckoo sound effect when I need it?
Somebody else, at his direction, took Saddam's gun. He would never have had the guts to go take Saddam's gun. Never. That's his way of when he bailed out, when his daddy got him in the champagne company down there in the National Guard, got him in that unit, the champagne unit, so he didn't have to go to Vietnam. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with not wanting to go to Vietnam, because I don't know a single soul that wanted to go to Vietnam. But he's lied about it ever since, and so here he is covering up his own inadequacies, his sense of guilt that, oh, I didn't go, I'm not going to admit that I... But I've got Saddam's gun, and so I'm really a tough guy. And, you know, I just about cracked up today. You know, we had that meeting the other day with the new lady president of Liberia. And she's American educated. I'm not sure. One of the up East schools, Yale, Harvard, Princeton, I'm not sure which one of them. One of the hoity-toities up there. And he said, But he said, you know, I was real impressed. I was real impressed with her. She, you know, she seems like she knows what's going on. And he said, can you imagine when she went back home to Liberia and talked to her people over there, a third world African country, she probably looked at them and says, damn, that is one dumbass that's running the United States of America over there. Because she is a smart lady.
Right, yeah. She's
really smart.
Educated, right.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't what he thought of her. We all know she's an intelligent lady, a savvy political lady and all that. This guy, she probably went home and told all her friends what a dope he is. You know, I can see it now. I can't believe this man is the president of the United States. I can't believe it. What's wrong with the American people?
Isn't Liberia, too, a political haven, so to speak, for U.S. politics in that part
of
the country?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It always has been.
It'll be interesting to see if she works well with George Bush or not.
Oh, I know. It will be. It will be. Well, it's getting toward the bottom of the hour, and... I think we're going to take a little break here, if I can. I can't find a button. We're not going to take a little break right now. But anyway, I found that absolutely amazing that he would say in a condescending way. That's the part that really got me about it, that in such a condescending way, he says, I was really impressed with her. I know for a fact she wasn't impressed with him, that's for sure. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
'Tis finally agreed to testify before the 9/11 Commission, but only with Dick Cheney at his side. That frightens me. The science of psychosis has made a shocking find. They've identified a new disease that will surely blow your mind. They found a specimen that just cannot function, that seems to time travel back to the womb. It's a creature that's dense and doesn't make sense unless
There's a tick in the room. Dick in the room. Dick in the room. The president needs a dick in the room. It's well understood. It makes him look good, like a president should when he's got a tick in the room. Now that Bush is an affable fellow, I have nothing against his persona. And as for being a sweetie,
no, my,
yes, indeed, he gets a halo, a crown, a corona. But in terms of his mental condition,
though not a physician, I can only presume
that he's so unaware he'd fall out of his chair. Unless... There's a tick in the room. Dick in the room. Dick in the room. The president needs a dick in the room. Now, in case you don't know who's running the show, pay attention. Hello. It's Dick in the room.
How many lies you tell today? One for Iraq, one for pollution, one to attack the Constitution. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Lie to the people and you lie to your friends. And you lie, and it never ever ends. Tell me why do you lie, lie, lie? When you lie, 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 do you try to keep a straight face?
Liar.
Liar, pants on fire. Puppet of the gun lobby, drug lobby, bank lobby. Puppet of the war and the more war lobby. Lie about the Wall Street mass corruption. Lie about the weapons of mass destruction. Lie about the lives of Scotland Yard. And you lie about your time in the National Guard. Tell me why. Tell me why. Tell me why do you lie, lie? When you lie, you try to keep a straight face.
Lie to the people and you lie to your friends and you lie and you lie and it never ever ends.
Liar. Pants on fire. Lie about the truth about Saddam Hussein. Lie about your drunk driving and your cocaine.
Lie about Medicare.
Lie about the vets. Lie about everything the rich man gets. You liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh my, liar, liar, pants on fire. they come up with some good ones. We'll be doing a cut off of that now and then. Hey, our joke of the day. We always said we're going to have a joke every day, and Greg sent me this one. Greg Rayner, thanks, Greg, for sending this. I heard this one in a different form one time, but we'll do it in this form today, and it's just as funny, really. It's one of those jokes that can be used a lot of different ways. But one day Joe dies and goes to heaven. Well, that's nice that at least Joe made. And at the gates of heaven, he sees a million clocks on the wall. Must have been a big wall. He asks St. Peter, what are all those clocks for? And St. Peter answers, these are all lie clocks. Every time a person tells a lie, the clock moves 1 minute. Their clock moves 1 minute. See, here's Mother Teresa's clock. It hasn't moved one bit because she has never told a lie. And over here is Abe Lincoln's clock, and it's only moved 2 minutes, meaning Lincoln had told only two lies in his entire life. Oh, says Joe, where's President Bush's clock? And St. Peter replies, it's in Jesus' office. He's using it as a ceiling fan. There we go. Thank you, Greg. Thank you for sending that today. That's interesting. Oh, yeah. Hey, and I did want to forget to say, of course, he won't be hearing this, but I I want to send out our best thoughts and wishes for our good friend Charlie Rose. We met Charlie several times and corresponded with Charlie on PBS, and he's undergoing heart surgery over in France right now. And we send our very best wishes to Charlie Rose. He'll be back on PBS very soon, we hope. It won't be long. And actually, I didn't know this, but he said he was experiencing shortness of breath while in Syria last week for his interview with President Assad. There's not a much better interviewer than Charlie Rose. And Charlie, we wish the very, very best for you. Hope that all works out really well. You know, I can't get over that that Dick Cheney quote. Someone sent that to me today, and I read that, and I thought, oh, boy. Well, it's just more of this hypocrisy, just more of this talking out of both sides of their mouth that they're so good at doing. And it's, you know, it's pathetic that there's still a lot of these people out there that believe, you know, that believe Bush is God's man and got blind faith in these people. And only Fox News and radio conservative talk show hosts still bringing it up. But, I mean, they're talking about how he's such a godly man, how he's such a good man. And they say that. I don't think they believe it. I think they say it because they know that their listeners, and again, they know their listeners. I know our listeners, and they know their listeners. They have more listeners. But it's quality, not quantity, folks. And I know our listeners are among the most well-informed that listen to radio anywhere, and I know theirs are a bunch of sheep. I mean, there isn't any question about it. Where did I see? Someone sent me a bumper sticker. Said, be a Republican. It's easy. You don't have to think. Well, you know, that's it. Rush Limbaugh. Imagine letting a guy high on drugs do your thinking for you. Imagine that. A lot of you have heard of what OxyContin and all those things are. Imagine having a guy stoned every day, and stoned so much he lost his hearing on account of it. It has that effect on you. And the most respected right-winger there is Rush Limbaugh. A guy that said they ought to take drug addicts, put them in jail, and throw away the key. Yes, he did say that, but except for him, of course. Except for him. Ah, yes. We had one of our cyber friends, Nance Gregg, send us an article that I planned on reading some of it to you today. I wrote and asked for permission to do this, and I didn't hear back, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it's called Do You Ever Wonder? Actually, things that should make Republican voters go, Did you ever wonder why, when there's some question of wrongdoing on the part of the president, he always tries to thwart any investigation into his actions? If he were innocent of anything untoward, wouldn't a transparent investigation serve to vindicate him and prove his detractors wrong? You know, it's like Bill Clinton. I think we know the full extent of anything Bill Clinton did wrong in his administration, having been the most investigated administration in history, and if there was anything other than the Monica incident, they'd be trumpeting it from the rooftops. They'd been yelling it still. Still, they would. And to go back to this great article, do you ever wonder why it's the Republicans who insist on using Diebold machines when they've been proven to be easily hackable and consistently show faulty results that favor the Republican candidates? Do you ever think that if your party was fair and honest, they would insist on using machines that ensured an accurate vote count? Don't you think? Of course. And Cheney, who's still on the Halliburton payroll, keeps saying that he's earmarked those earnings coming from Halliburton for charity in the future. Do you ever think about why he just doesn't donate the money right now? Do you ever wonder where your tax dollars have gone when you hear that the national debt is now at $9 trillion and all you see is the cutting of funding to health needs and education and transportation system instead of the expansion of any of those things? Do you ever wonder why Bill Frist is still being described as a GOP presidential hopeful when he's under investigation for stock fraud and charitable donation fraud? Do you ever think that if your party had anyone to run who is not likely to be indicted on one charge or another, that they'd be touting him as a likely candidate? Do you ever wonder why the noble cause we're fighting for in Iraq keeps changing from week to week? Do you ever think that if that cause was something clear-cut and truthful, Bush could have told Cindy Sheehan what it was and saved himself a lot of bad publicity? Do you ever wonder why your president keeps telling you how engaged he is in the running of the country, while at the same time he keeps referring to things, quote, he didn't know anything about, like the Dubai ports deal? Do you ever wonder why your president has degrees from Harvard and Yale? But he can't, I laugh every time I hear that, but he can't speak for more than 2 minutes without annihilating the English language. Do you ever think about why, if he's so smart, he failed at every business venture he was ever involved in? Do you look at the national debt and wonder if there isn't some fuzzy math at play here? Do you ever wonder why your president constantly talks about being pro-life when he seemingly gleefully executed people as the governor of Texas and laughed about the fact on national television during the 2000 primaries? Do you ever wonder why your president and his administration hold themselves out to be good Christians while they embrace torture, rendition, and secret prisons? Do you ever wonder why your self-proclaimed born-again Christian president took an oath on the Holy Bible to uphold the Constitution, but then says he is not bound by the laws set out in that same document? Do you ever wonder why your elected officials do their utmost to protect the unborn, but do nothing to improve the lives of the already born? Do you ever wonder why your elected officials say they're representing your best interest when they support laws that put the interest of big oil, big pharmacy, and big business above your interest every single time? Do you ever wonder why your elected officials are stuffing their own pockets with Abramoff money while at the same time they're swearing they never even met the man? Do you ever wonder why your elected officials are always scolding you about living within your means while they vote themselves raises every time the cost of living goes up? Do you ever think about all the extended trips they take to exotic places on your dime to discuss how bad things are back home? Do you ever wonder why your party members invariably respond to legitimate questions about their policies by attacking the person who had the temerity to pose the question? Do you ever think that maybe their policies are indefensible and that's why they consistently resort to that tactic? Do you ever wonder why there are millions upon millions of easily accessible records of those who have served in the military, and the only records that have ever gone missing are the ones that would prove your president's assertion that he actually fulfilled his military service requirements? Do you ever wonder why you, a United States resident, have to pay every penny of your taxes or face dire consequences while thousands of profitable corporations legally duck paying theirs simply by having a Bahamian post office box listed as their headquarters? Do you ever wonder why Bush and Cheney admitted, albeit reluctantly, that Saddam Hussein and Iraq had nothing to do with the September 11th attack, but keep right on linking the two every chance they get? Oh, isn't that the truth? Do you ever wonder why a guy named Curveball was given total credibility in the lead-up to the Iraq invasion, while experienced intelligence analysts were dismissed as nutballs? Do you ever wonder why your president and your elected officials constantly tell you that the outsourcing your job is good for the country? Do you ever think to ask them to explain actually how that works? Do you ever wonder why? Do you ever? Just wondering. Thought that was an excellent piece. Lengthy, but excellent piece. Things that should make Republican voters go, That was posted by Nance Greggs on Democratic Underground back on Sunday, but quite a good piece, an excellent piece. We're going to be back in just a minute. I think.
The president is an interesting man. I'm sure he always does the best he can. His actions may be criminal, but he can't help it, it's subliminal. He longs to hear the words, to hear the words, you're fired. Impeach me, impeach me. Everything he does cries out, impeach me. And when he couldn't find Osama, he just knew he'd be impeached. When he blundered into Baghdad, he thought at last impeached. When Bush lied and people died, oh, impeached. And then Katrina, ha, Katrina, how could he not but be impeached? Impeach me, impeach me. Cries out, impeach me, 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 so who am I to keep him in the White House? Who am I to hold him to his oil-soaked bows? May he be offered a one-way trip to Crawford to play guitar and serenade the cows while singing, impeach me, impeach me. Listen to the president, impeach me, impeach me, impeach me. Oh, he doesn't like the hours and he doesn't like the stress. He doesn't like the thinking, and he doesn't like the press. And that's why he makes such a big, bad mess. Oh, won't somebody help this man retire? Sure he wouldn't mind if you impeach him. Now God have mercy on his soul. If he has one, may your goal be to impeach him. Now. My friend, little Dickie Cheney, he's a lot of fun. He gets in trouble every day and ticks off everyone. Oh boy, he lets me in his clubhouse. We raise a lot of hell. And all the things that happen there, he says he'll never tell. Even if he's subpoenaed by Congress and the courts and the public, oh well, he f*** you when he's mad, he f*** you when he's blue. Oh boy, unless you let him rule the world, he says f*** you, f*** you. Oh, he left you in a New York minute. He left you on the floor of the Senate. Little Dickie Cheneyack, he's a maniac. Little Dickie Cheney, my friend.
Yes, Little Dickie Cheney. Ah, yes. More from Eskett. He's got a whole CD of these cute little songs. And, yeah, 22 of them on there, actually. And we thank Eskett for sending us that. Now and then we get CDs sent in from people. And always interesting to see what you're doing in your spare time at home. Most definitely is. Interesting, a quote on March the 10th in 06, President Bush said, one of the keys is going to be to get up a unity government up and running, a government that reflects the diversity of the country. We want the Iraqis to make that selection, of course. They are the ones who got elected by the people. They're the ones who must form the government. And then we hear, on March the 29th, Mr. Khalilzad said Mr. Bush doesn't want, doesn't support, doesn't accept Mr. Jafari as the next prime minister, according to Mr. Taki, a senior aide to Abdu al-Hakim, the head of the Shiite bloc. It was the first clear and direct message from the Americans on a specific candidate for prime minister. So on the one hand, Bush is saying, oh, gee, they got to get their government up. On the other hand, he's saying, hell no, I don't want them. So it's interesting. Very interesting. Does this person want to be on the air? You sure? Okay. We've got Eileen. Hi, Eileen.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Oh, I didn't expect to be on the air. Okay.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll take your call after the show. I didn't know that. We're on the air right now, and my producer put the call to me, and as you want to be on here, we'll give you a call right after the program. Thank you. Sorry about that. I wondered when I saw the name. I knew she didn't want to be on the air. I didn't think so. You got to ask. Okay. It's one of those days. It's just one of those days. How many of you saw that pitiful talk by David Horowitz down at Duke University the other night? I watched that on C-SPAN. And, you know, he had this burly-looking, nasty-looking man standing beside him during the whole time he was standing up on stage giving a speech. And I finally figured out this guy was his bodyguard because he was afraid of what someone might do to him for what he was standing there saying. You know, David Horowitz, at one time was an incendiary militant terrorist who advocated overthrow of the United States government during his college years. And he was on TV the other night speaking to a crowd of might as well have been Nazis and McCarthyites at Duke University in a speech he gave just a while back. It was a replay. David Horowitz, he's one of the leading right-wingers now. I can't imagine some of these people changing their spots, went from one end of the spectrum to the other, I guess for a buck. Did any of you see that, David Horowitz? My word, what a ugly, ugly man he is. What a terribly ugly man he is. And I mean from the things he says and the way he acts. He's a nasty piece of work, a really nasty piece of work. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to call the program. We got a couple of minutes left in the show today. Where do we go from here? You know, rather than directly interfering in Iraq's politics or painting a false picture of the situation, the administration, I think the administration could do more in a couple of different areas. I don't think there's any question of that. First, the administration should follow the Iraqi foreign minister's lead and pressure Iraq's neighbors to get more involved. Secondly, a strategy of some sort of strategic redeployment, and who wouldn't love to see that, out of Iraq would really help the political process and keep it away from the whims of the terrorists and the cynical Iraqi politicians. Redeploy the troops outside someplace. We're not stopping the violence that's happened there. What, you know, let me ask you, why are we there right now? There's absolutely unbridled violence going on. We're not stopping any of it. Our troops are getting involved in it, getting shot at and getting killed today. A couple more got killed. Why not just redeploy to someplace outside? There's places that we could send the troops in the Middle East until these people hash this out. Then if you see it's out of control, if you must, if you're the president and you feel you must, I would never feel it. Let me state here and now that I don't give a damn what happens. I would fly every last American soldier out of there tonight. Tonight. Every single one of them. we've paid a horrible price. We've paid enough of a price with American lives and American treasure. This game's over for Americans. The American people are not going to support this war anymore. That should be loud and clear by now to the president and his people, if he gave a damn, which I don't think he does. They should get him out of there right now. Absolutely get him out of there right now. But if he can't do that, at least he could redeploy our troops outside of the country or out of Baghdad, out of the populated areas. Until these people can decide with their duly elected government, supposedly, what it is they want to do and get their problem solved. We owe them that. We don't owe them any more than that. So, I wish we would do that. But, again, are there any Democrats asking for that? The Republicans are constantly beating on the Democrats for not joining in and supporting this wonderful war of George W. Bush. And yet the Democrats are, as always, sitting idly by. That brings me to something I was going to talk about a little earlier today, and it really didn't get around to it, and it's too late now. But did you see where the Democrats came out with their plan? The DNC sent it to me this morning. Their plan, what they're going to do for America? Oh, man. I hope you get a chance to read that. It came directly from the DNC today. I forget what it was titled. It was Our Plan, What We're Going to Do for America. It was a piece of crap. Here we've got the worst administration in history with our government in their clutches, and the Democrats come up with this. Whoever did this, sent this, Our Plan, What We're Going to Do. It was literally a bunch of evasive pap. It didn't amount to anything. It didn't give any specifics. You know, it said, well, we're going to make things better. Yeah. And we're going to make America safer. And we're going to make America more secure. And we're going to make sure America is economically viable. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, how? Don't give me that kind of stuff that, politicians. It's ridiculous. Do they think the American public is stupid enough to buy that? Maybe they have the answer to that question. Maybe the American public is stupid enough to buy that. I hope not. But it was a sorry excuse of a plan. You know, and that goes back to what John Kerry kept saying during the last election. I hate to cry over spilt milk here, but, he kept saying that. I have a plan. You remember that during the last game? I have a plan. What was it, John? Did you ever really tell us the specifics of the plan? I have a plan. Well, you can take your plan and you can, and it's the same way with this.